If you visit Canada, then you're bound to visit one of their beautiful parks. These aren't little town parks as we may think of them in the UK. They're often very large, wild areas, allowing you to get close to nature and experience the Canadian wilderness. Jonathan France is Director of Brand Experience at Parks Canada.
Our primary mandate from a holistic point of view is protecting the ecological integrity of the national parks that we have responsibility for. But that's one component of our integrated mandate, which also includes public education and visitor experience. So it's not protecting parks from people, it's protecting parks for people.
In terms of the things that you can do in order to, as you say, protect the park and have people in there at the same time, what does that actually mean?
In some parks, we have very high visitation, like Banff. Obviously, your challenges in terms of maintaining ecological balance are higher than they are in less frequented, like the northern Arctic parks. We have fairly not strict guidelines, but we try and keep people onto trails where we can minimize the amount of ecological damage that's done. When there are sensitive areas, then we will go to, make sure that we have signage out asking people to avoid going and trampling various pieces of a sensitive environment. But generally speaking, we've found a really good balance between maintaining ecological integrity in the parks and allowing people to come in and visit them.
How much work do you do in terms of conserving the actual wildlife that's in the park? Because obviously some of that wildlife could be dangerous to people, but on the other hand, that is part of what the beauty of the park is about.
Visitor safety is our top priority. So when there is dangerous wildlife around, and this happens every year, whether it's rutting elk or female grizzlies with cubs, we will close off trails if that means that you're putting visitors at potential risk. Protecting the wildlife is one of our biggest concerns. We're working with CP Railway, as an example, to try and stop bears being killed along the railways that go through the mountain parks. We're reintroducing species that have been extirpated, like the black-footed ferret in Grasslands National Park in Saskatchewan or woodland caribou in the mountain parks. But on the flip side of that, we have areas where you've got unwanted wildlife, for instance, rats on islands where you have seabird nesting. So in those cases, we'll actually go out and exterminate the rats in order to protect the native species. So it's making sure the wanted wildlife is protected. And when you have wildlife that's either hyperabundant or has been introduced, then it's about coping with those as in a humane manner as possible, but making sure that there's balance within the ecosystem.
What kind of restrictions are there on parks? Like once you've got an area that's been designated a park, does that mean you can't build in there, you can't build roads? And what does it actually mean to that piece of land?
It means different things for different parks, because parks were first established back in 1885 with Banff National Park. So Banff, because of its long legacy, has a town site, has roads, has ski resorts. It's an evolution of what a park might be. In newer parks, they tend to be in more remote areas anyway. So the two most recent ones are Sable Island off the coast of Nova Scotia and Natsicho in the Northwest Territories, which is expanding the Nahanni National Park. Because they're more remote areas, infrastructure like roads and town sites and what have you just are not part of the plan. But we still have to be able to provide basic services so that people can go in and visit the parks, because, again, we're not building fences around to keep people out. So it's how to get the basic infrastructure in, protecting the ecological integrity of the park, but also allowing visitors to come in and enjoy it.
So how do you choose an area that is ideal for a park? So if you were looking for more areas in Canada to turn into parks, what would be your criteria?
We have a systems plan. So there are, and I believe this is correct, 39 geographical regions in the country, and we want to have a representative park in each of them. And we're about two-thirds of the way there right now. We have 44 national parks, but some of them overlap in one sort of geographical area, like the Rocky Mountain parks. So you've got sort of an over representation of parks in that particular area. But again, that's historic. That's where we first started establishing parks, long before we had a systems plan. But now it is guided by trying to make sure that we've got one protected park in each of the geographical areas.
Some of your parks obviously contain national historic sites as well, which are not necessarily about the nature or the trees or anything. What role can you play in preserving those?
That's twofold. So from a cultural integrity point of view, which is the cultural side of ecological integrity, we can maintain the fabric. So whether it's repairing walls or fixing cracks or what have you. But on a more fundamental basis, we have a number of national historic sites that are being threatened by environmental change. So Louisbourg, with severe Atlantic storms, is seeing its coastline being washed away and we're losing archaeological resources. Up in the north, where you've got permafrost that is starting to not be permanent. We've got frost heave and other damage that's being inflicted to some of the historic properties like York Factory up in northern Manitoba. In a lot of cases, it's a question of documenting, recording, doing rescue archaeology. If we're in desperate situation of losing a resource, it's really making sure that at least we have a proper photographic and written record of anything should eventually that we lose the actual site itself. But other than that, it's building berms, it's creating barriers to try and, again, mitigate against the environmental impact on our cultural history.
That's Jonathan France from Parks Canada. For more information, visit pc.gc.ca.
Interviews from Passion for the Planet.
Copyright Passion for the Planet.
Listen to more interviews online.
Hear health, environment, lifestyle, personal growth, and business experts when it suits you.
Find out more at passionfortheplanet.com.